Welcome to the Well Hung Podcast, where we reach into the well of life and bring you the gems of the week, from news to pop culture. Now, here are your hosts, Diana and Nate.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the very first episode of the Well Hung Podcast. My name is Nate. You recognize me from the Nate Darling Show because you're on the website, right?
Or iTunes.
Or iTunes as well. With me, of course, Diana Hong.
Hey, what's up? This is exciting. Thanks for tuning in and checking it out. Hopefully it's everything you hope and wanted.
Or your money back.
Yeah, money back.
It's a money back guarantee. If you don't like it, all of your free money back. So this is sort of a little bit different sort of vibe than the Nate Darling Show. It's a just sort of a little bit of a different take on everything. It's a smaller thing. It's a more bite size. It's fewer people in the room, so it works out that way.
Yeah, and something nice to kind of get your week started. I know Monday's always rough. I hate Mondays, especially when I have to work.
Oh, you hate Mondays. You know who hates Mondays? The Iron Sheik hates Mondays.
What does the Iron Sheik actually like?
The Iron Sheik likes a lot of things. It's just hit or miss because you don't really know what's going to strike his fancy. He's a complicated dude.
Yeah, you know, I like complicated, and that's kind of usually the girls that I go for. So it's Iron Sheik, if you ever decide to turn into a woman and gay, holler.
I'm pretty sure he's set in his ways. But let me go back to he tweets a lot, man. Let me see what here we go. This is what the Iron Sheik says about Monday, and this is pretty common for every Monday morning on the Iron Sheik's Twitter feed. Good morning, Monday. Please go fuck yourself forever.
That sounds about right, and I'm sure the listeners can relate. I'm not a fan of, because sometimes I open on Mondays.
Oh,
starts work at 7, and then you're dealing with bullshit starting from 7 o'clock, and you're just like, no.
Yeah, bullshit shouldn't start rolling in until at least 10 a.m.
Oh, minimum. At the earliest, for sure. Preferably not at all, but... Man, everyone's grumpy. And that's the best thing about working in retail. Not only are you working, but people that come in, they're grumpy too. And it's like, dude, at least you're on that side of the counter and not this.
Yeah, having worked in retail, Monday morning sucks. The only thing that sucks more than Monday morning is closing on a Sunday night.
Oh yeah, those are always fun.
And then there's the people who don't normally do that, but then they have to work a Sunday night shift and come back in Monday morning, so they've been there the entire time whatever store has been open.
Oh yeah, no, I do that a couple of times, and like part of me dies a little bit, and my soul cries every time I leave work. And then there's those assholes that like don't leave, or like, store is closed, it's been closed, why are you still here?
Yeah, on the other side of it, I get really irritated as a shopper if I'm going somewhere and it's let's say the store closes at 6 and 5:45 the gate is halfway down.
Oh yeah,
and it's no, don't come in. It's like, okay, settle down. You're open till 6. Leave the gate up. I know you want to go home.
No, I completely understand. Like, you know, if you come at like, I'm okay with if you come at 5:59 and you know exactly what you want, where it is, and you let us help you and we can get you out. But if you're just shopping and wandering around aimlessly until 6:30, 7 o'clock,
that's not cool.
That's not a fan of you.
Yeah. If you walk in within 15 minutes of closing time, you better know what you want. When someone comes up to you and goes, can I help you find something? That's like, well, you need to find something and get the fuck out of here.
That's exactly what that means, in the most PC way possible. That is exactly what we mean. And we say it with a smile, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm just shopping around. So you should come back tomorrow.
when we both have more time.
Right. Yeah. I hate to rush you because this is important, shopping. So we're going to talk about the Grammys on this show.
Yeah, because that just, you know, that's a big deal. Growing up, I loved the Grammys. So that was like my Super Bowl. I know the Super Bowl just happened. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna do the Grammys and see, because a lot of things went down. Usually something when someone posts about the Grammys is usually about outfits and songs and performances and stuff, except for Madonna did look a lot older. That was weird. But something did happen after the Grammys that everyone seems to be talking about. It's Macklemore, the big winner.
Yeah, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, they're a white hip-hop duo from Seattle, if you're not aware of them. They won Grammy Awards for Best New Artist, Best Rap Song, Best Rap Performance, and Best Rap Album. The second and third were for their hit single Thrift Shop, which is a playful critique of the conspicuous consumption in hip-hop. The last was for their platinum debut LP, The Heist. Macklemore and Lewis then performed Same Love, which is an anthem for marriage equality that contains a not-so-playful critique of homophobia in hip-hop. Madonna and Queen Latifah were there, because why not? 34 couples got married. 34 same-sex couples, by the way, got married.
Are you sure? Because I was double-checking that, and I was kind of confused.
I had heard 31. This is an article on Slate, so I'm sure there's a lot of problems with it. But I know there were more than 30 same-sex couples who tied the knot. As Queen Latifah, by the power vested in her by...
State of California. I think she got one of those things online where you can marry people.
You don't even have to get it online. You can go to City Hall in any city in California and get a certificate to perform marriage ceremonies for one day.
I'm pretty sure her agent got that for her then. That totally makes sense now.
Yeah, I don't think Queen Latifah was down at LA City Hall standing in line, but... But it is that simple, and the thing that's interesting is anybody can get certified by if you're not in California, because my ill-fated second marriage, the ceremony was performed by my friend Corey, who sent away in the mail to a Native American tribe, sent them like $30 or $50 or whatever, and he filled out some forms, and suddenly he was a certified minister, and he can marry people.
Oh, that makes yeah, and you know one of the reasons that people are against same-sex marriages, you know, protecting the sanctity of marriage, you know, which is obviously really sacred, because you can get it by paying $30 and then marrying people. Like,
well,
you know,
that's performing the ceremony. To be fair, you're not, the ceremony is really just a ceremony. You're really only legally married when you file the marriage license back with the clerk wherever you got married. So the ceremony is all for show. It's not... Just like on the Grammys, any wedding you go to, the ceremony, really just for show.
How would you, I always, that's the thought that I had. I mean, part of me is like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like getting married on the Grammys, and I was getting teared up. And then I don't know if this is just an asshole, selfish mentality that I have, but what is, oh yeah.
Put a little Macklemore.
Yeah, nice. But I was just wondering, so can, you're sharing a special moment between you and your partner with 30 plus other couples.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, the whole gay thing, I think they just like really, Madonna, I mean,
Queen Latifah.
Queen, yeah. I was like, of all the icon, they used the gay, it was like a complete, they made it into a show. And I don't want to knock it too much, because it's just a thought that ran through my mind, because I think it was a beautiful thing. I love what Macklemore's doing or trying to do with that song, and the fact that they try to make a statement, but to, I guess I felt like it was exploiting it in a certain, to a certain extent. And I don't know if that's just me being too much of an asshole and too critical. And like, did anyone else, did you have that thought? Like, am I the only asshole that was like, no, this is kind of messed up. Like, it's not special.
It was very exploitive. It was a look at me moment.
Yeah.
And it was done specifically to make a statement, and that's fine. What it reminded me of is, and this goes back, because I'm older than you, the Reverend Sung Young Moon marrying thousands of couples in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's cool to, I guess it's kind of like cool to walk away and you tell the story of your wedding ceremony or whatever to your kids or grandkids. And yeah, it's, you know, you were part of this statement in this moment. But because of the Grammys and how, you know, I feel like they're losing a lot of their credibility over the years with some of the winners they have, and which is what the problem is with, like, people are having with Macklemore. You know, he doesn't really know hip hop, all this, and like, I mean, if we're real, hip hop is pop. Like,
yeah, well, let me just make something very clear about the whole hip hop thing.
Okay.
And people are gonna say, you don't know what you're talking about. Virtually every hip hop song you hear is just a song that was a hit by a rock and roll or a pop artist that they've taken the melody for and quote unquote sampled, which means played in the background the entire time. And then they write maybe a new lyric to it. Sometimes half a lyric.
That's true. Like some of they keep the choruses and stuff like that too.
The Beats commercial that's running right now, I'm the Man, where you see the Beats headphones and it's like,
yeah,
I'm the Man.
Yeah.
That's Elton John's Your Song. It is. That's
the most
what it
gangsta
is.
Song out there.
So honestly, rap music for me would be like taking, it's the equivalent of taking the Mona Lisa and drawing a mustache and some bushy eyebrows on her and make her, you know, add your own little touch to the Mona Lisa and go, I'm an artist. look what I've done with this. No, no, no. You've taken something that existed and modified it. You're a modifier.
You're a modifier. That should be a new genre, like a new genre of artists, or not a music or a title. You know, like I'm a rapper. No, modifier.
Yeah.
I think, if we go back into the history of it, that's like kind of how hip hop started. They like, you know, would come up with samples or songs or whatever, and then write their own lyrics. And those had more meaning. And I think there was something more behind it because there's a message to be projected. That's why I love like the older rap where I'm more of a storyteller. Like I love the stories that they tell and stuff like that. And they're trying to convey something, but now they're trying to convey, you know, like twerking and popping your pussy or whatever, I don't know, making it rain, and how much money that they have, don't have. And it's like all about money and hoes and alcohol and partying, which is fun because I would love to do that. That's probably why I still listen to it. But I think Macklemore doing that, and I don't know if this is what the guy was trying to convey in this article, because he just bashed Macklemore for like 80% of it. Yeah. But if he was trying to convey, like, he doesn't really know hip hop, because a lot of his music, like, he has white privilege. Like, this whole thing, a lot of people have a problem with it. A lot of it is white privilege, or supposedly him having it and him not actually knowing or whatever. But is that really a bad thing that he is trying to use what he has? I think he's very lyrically talented for what he does and what he's trying to do. Like he makes stuff make sense, and he uses full sentences or full ideas.
Listen, Jay-Z goes,
Jay-Z got lazy once he got Beyonce. Something happened. He got so lazy. Like even the song, like every time he's on a song and he has a couple verses, it's like, does that even relate to the topic of the song?
No, nothing.
He just got super lazy. And did you hear about when Macklemore won after the Grammys, he sent a text to Kendrick Lamar and was like, dude, you got robbed, I'm really sorry, like all this stuff, like I wanted to give you the award. And like,
yeah, he then had white guilt.
Oh, best part about it, he took a picture of the text and posted it. I don't know if it was like Instagram or Facebook, but he posted the text. And one of my initial reaction with that, which is what I've was like reading on Facebook, because you know that's the only time opinions and news matters,
sure.
Is that, you know, like he's really just trying to project that, like, you know, like, yeah, he deserves this, but I'm still gonna keep it. Like there, I remember it was the Academy Awards like years ago, or maybe a Grammy, where the guy got on stage straight up was like, I don't deserve this, handed it to the guy on stage who he thought should have won.
Yeah.
And that, I remember that was just like, everyone was just dumbfounded. They're like, oh my god, would you give it up if you had it? Like, you're the one that won. Like, all this bullshit. But the fact that he did it on stage made it clear and didn't like try to play martyr or like get some recognition of like the thought of it or something. Like, Macklemore still has the Grammy, but it was setting him this, it's kind of like a rubbing it in his face. I don't know how to put it. I mean, I'm sure maybe he had good intentions. And I talked to a friend about it, and he said, you know, this is great. He probably did it as a favor to Kendrick Lamar, because people, Macklemore fans, were like, oh, well, if he's cool with Kendrick, then we'll listen to his music and all this. So it's a good publicity thing. But like, as an ex-athlete, if someone like had a trophy and like shoved it in my face, like, dude, you should have won this, but you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't want it. I'd be like, yeah, but I didn't win it, so
yeah,
I don't want your charity.
Yeah, it just feels, and it's hard to explain. Like, I compare like entertainment and sports in the same way, because like, you know, they are in their own right artists or hard, you know, different. It's a different culture out there. But like, when something gets competitive, and when someone comes up to you and is like, "Yeah, you know, I thought you should have won." Well, I didn't either. Like,
right.
Thanks for. I mean, I appreciate the thought. I'm not gonna be an asshole and be like, "No, screw you." Like, I didn't win. Thanks for rubbing my face. But I'm gonna be like, I mean, that's. I appreciate the sentiment. And that's it. It's like an awkward, like, thank you, like a backhanded compliment, I guess, is the best way to kind of frame it.
Yeah, it's along the lines of, I suppose, here, take the trophy. No, I'm not taking the trophy. And then you would have a rap battle over who was going to take the trophy, and then you end up leaving it.
I think that'd be, yeah, they should just battle up. But yeah, I just, I don't know. I think hip hop is becoming more controversial now because Macklemore, especially since Macklemore won it, is the whole white thing. I mean, it's weird. Like, I don't remember. I probably should, but I definitely lost a lot of brain cells over the years. But did this whole thing, like when Eminem was big, I know he had like a problem, like, you know, coming up and being a white rapper, like when he did it. But like when he actually got big, I don't think a lot of people, there was the whole debate like of like, you know, white people are trying to be like white suburban kids are trying to be quote unquote black, going to immerse themselves in black culture because of Eminem. But then I don't remember, and I could be wrong, any like specific critiques about Eminem specifically not being like a real hip hop artist.
Yeah, I think the difference is Eminem came up in Detroit, sort of in the streets. He came from poverty, like most rappers did. So I think he got a lot more of a pass than Macklemore, who I think a lot of people see as just a suburban dude who just whatever. But let's not forget, in all of this, Vanilla Ice blazed the way for white rappers.
That is true. That was before. That is very true.
He's the OG of white rappers.
Oh dear Lord.
Yeah.
That's on the podcast. That's Vanilla Ice is the OG of white rappers, and we just proved it.
We did. Now we mentioned Twitter to begin the show. We mentioned the Iron Sheik on Twitter. You also have a Twitter feed. Let's talk about that briefly.
So I do. I did start Twitter. I'm gonna be honest. I don't post too much on it, mainly because I don't know how to keep my thoughts to 150 characters or less, but I'm trying.
It's 140, but go ahead.
Oh shit, there we go, problem already. But it's called Bitches Preach, BITCHESPREACH.
For all of you people too stupid to spell,
or you know, I don't know if people thought I would like try to make it all cute and cool, like, you know how Asian is like AZN or A capital ZN.
Oh sweet Jesus, thank God you didn't.
I thought about it, but I thought this was okay. So anyway, hopefully it doesn't offend anyone, because I know the word itself, bitches itself, can get offensive, especially for females. It has a negative connotation. And I personally don't see the word bitch as a negative thing. So what I did was I found my own definition thanks to Urban Dictionary for both these definitions, by the way. So basically the whole premise of it is a woman that don't give a fuck, who are advocating right conduct and giving advice. So the whole Twitter is basically just ideas and things that like people should know. So for example, if you're going to take a shower, wash your hair, make the most of the moment and shower. It would be nice. Cause you'll hear people like, yeah, I shower. And then it's like, well, when's the last time you washed your hair? Like 3 weeks ago. That's not, no.
Yeah, at least once a week you gotta wash
the hair. Yeah, at least try. Stuff like that. Some ideas, like if you're going through a really bad breakup, this happened to me. Suggestions that I have from my personal experience, and because I'm not a crier, but I know like crying does help release pain and tension. I love this song, by the way. And so, you know, if you really want to get over someone or like help you get over someone, the best to cry. What I learned is listen to Taylor Swift while cutting some onions.
Oh,
that was. That had me bawling, and I felt completely better.
The thought of it makes me want to cry.
I sometimes feel like Taylor Swift speaks my soul.
Wow.
And I just realized I sound like I have the maturity of a 12-year-old.
I think we've learned a lot today.
I think we learned a little too much. But hey, if you keep listening, you'll learn a lot more and realize that maybe there are other weird people out there, and we're all special in our own right. We are. And not short yellow bus special, which is what everyone always say to me.
Well, that's racist.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
That was racist.
Terrible.
I don't really take words seriously. I know there's a difference between connotation and denotation. There's a reason why words have connotations, but I feel like they change over time. But like for me growing up, yellow was never a bad thing. Like my dad turned to me, he's like, yeah, we can do this because we're yellow. And I was like, appalled. I think I was like 6 or 7. I was like, oh my gosh, like, can we say that?
Dad, we're cowards? What?
And like, there's this movie about Koreans that was called Yellow. It was just called Yellow. And it was, I can't remember what it was about, but it was like a low budget movie. I think it was trying to make a social statement.
All right. I think that's a good place to end the inaugural Well Hung podcast. We've learned a lot.
Yeah, I think we did. We did. We and shared a lot, right, Nate?
We did share something. We did share. We've learned the original OG, OG of white rappers, is Vanilla Ice.
Yeah. Enjoy that, America. That is what we have done so far.
At the very least, we can hang our hat on that.
Yes.
Today. So that's it for this week. New show again next Monday, every Monday, right here on NateDarlingShow.com. We'll be on iTunes soon, so we'll get everything all squared away with that. So in the meantime, enjoy some Meredith Brooks. This is appropriately Bitch on the Well Hung Podcast.